Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Good evening. You are listening to Love Sport Radio. Me, Matt Beadle, with you through until 11 p.m. this evening. We've had our Monday fan show special already. We've knocked down Arsenal. We've knocked down Manchester City. We've had Brentford on the show. And now it is time for the Aston Villa fan show. I am joined, as ever, by Ryan Pitcher from Under a Gaslit Lamp. And if you want to join the debate, it's very easy to get in touch with us. 0208 7020 558. You can get us on WhatsApp on that number as well, or tweet us at Love Sport Radio. Ryan, thank you for joining us, as ever. I would imagine you're a pretty happy chappy right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Delighted with Saturday's result. It all went very smoothly. Delighted with that.
I mean, 5-1 away from home. This is a team you went down with in the 2015-16 season, Norwich, a team you came up with last season. They finished last season, I think it was something like 18 points ahead of Aston Villa. But before the game, Dean Smith, when asked questions about last season, said, of course, it was two defeats on the bounce, 2-2-1 defeats by Norwich for Aston Villa last season. He said, Norwich have not faced this Aston Villa yet. And it proved to be rather true, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know I spoke on the Norwich show, came on briefly, and I said in that, you know, I echoed Smith's thoughts there. You know, they hadn't played that Aston Villa side, and you know, I think it's very cheap, you know, saying that, you know, they did have a lot of injuries. There wasn't too many changes from the side that beat Man City for them. Absolutely. I'd definitely echo Smith's thoughts on that.
Remember the last time you scored 5 goals in a Premier League away game, Ryan?
Oh, I've been to a few when we've had 5 put through us. I honestly can't remember. I think the last 5 we scored in a Premier League game. Obviously, we did Forest last term in that crazy 5-5 draw. The last time we put 5, maybe the Birmingham 5-1, or I think, but I can't remember away from home.
Yeah,
ever.
April 2008, a 6-0 win at Derby. So 11 years on. I know you spent a few years out of the Premier League, of course, but yeah, it's great when you break those records after such a long time, isn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, now you've said it. Yeah, that incredible Petrov goal. Yeah.
Yeah, what a goal that was, by the way.
Yeah.
But the performance itself, I mean, when you look at it, the high press, I think, was really key. I know that, you know, Norwich didn't have the best game, but we have to give credit here to Aston Villa and the fact that every time a Norwich player got on the ball, and they did make a lot of mistakes and they did have a few misplaced passes, but that was because of the pressure that Villa were putting them under.
Well, I mean, I like I said last week, I predicted an open game with lots of goals. I didn't quite predict it to be such a one-sided affair. No, but I mean, we've shown glimpses all season, but on Saturday it just all clicked together, and I just think we found a really good balance. Obviously, the tweaks to the midfield and not feeling the need to play what you may call conventional wide men just made it quite unpredictable for Norwich. Obviously, yeah, as you allude to, we set a precedent early doors with the high press and set traps, and they just played right into it and they had no answer. Midfield was excellent. Houlihan, McGinn, El Ghazi, they all did brilliantly. Marvellous Nakamba also stood out for me. But, you know, Grealish was absolutely sublime on Saturday. Everything came through him. And he also got on the score sheet with the third goal early in the second half, which essentially killed the game. But we didn't allow them to settle, pressing high up the pitch and force them into errors, and picked up possession really high up the park. It's almost like we reverted back to what we did last season, what we were good at and what we did so successfully by pressing, you know, so high up the park, but then all over the park. And I think we went back to a semi-old school way of playing and just allowed our attacking players to attack and your defensive players to defend. Obviously, you know, you'd say that there was a half a dozen attacking players there, if you will, with Target on the left, Houlihan, McGinn, Grealish, Wesley, El Ghazi. They were all over them, whilst the other four kind of just, you know, defended well and solidified things. So, you know, great showing. Obviously, Wesley, getting two, that'll do wonders for his confidence as well. So yeah, all told, absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, we talked about Wesley last week, didn't we, and the fact that he'd been singled out for a bit of criticism by some sections of the Villa support. A young lad come in for a fair amount of money for a young lad, a fair amount of money for Aston Villa to spend at least, especially since coming up from the Championship. And he answered those critics, didn't he? We said that, you know, you need to be patient with these young players, but we mentioned it earlier, actually, on Posh Boys on Drive, that it was almost his reaction to the goals that were even better. There was no massive celebration. There was no sliding on the knees. There was no pointing to the name on the back of his shirt. It was very much almost a shrug of the shoulders, as if to say, yeah, that's what I can do. Just expect it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm not going to critique him. Obviously, he scored two goals, could have had a hat trick with a penalty miss. Obviously, assisted, you know, his international colleague. He's not an international yet, but Douglas Luiz, fellow Brazilian. But you know, I mean, his overall play wasn't too bad. But listen, you know, he scored two tap-ins, essentially. You know, I'm not knocking him down here when I say that, but
you've got to be there, though, right? You've got to be there.
Yeah, exactly. You've got to be. Look, Van Nistelrooy wasn't exactly, a technically gifted player, world class or anything like that. He was in the right place at the right times. At the end of the day, strikers are always going to be, you know, judged on goals. And, you know, for as long as he's in the right places, to be honest, if he scores one or two here and there and, you know, gets us, you know, I'd like to think 15, 16 goals this season, which I genuinely believe he can do, then, you know, that'd be absolutely incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned other star performers there. Conor Hourihan, again, that's seven goals he's been involved in his last five league matches for Villa against Norwich. I know sometimes you have certain clubs that you like to play against, but it's good when you have players like that. And he now is, and you sometimes look at these players and you think, can they step up from the Championship? Sometimes players can't. You look at Tom Kearney last season for Fulham, brilliant in the Championship, steps up to the Premier League and perhaps doesn't quite do it, has gone back down to the Championship and is looking dynamite again. But Hourihan is holding his own, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he blows hot and cold in terms of, you know, from what we've seen this season, he didn't start in the side and he's come in and, he's done really well, I think. You know, I mean, there's a stat now, he's come through the leagues, he's scored in every single, you know, league in terms of the top four leagues, all the way from League Two up to the Premier League. And hats off, you know, he's a really hard worker. He was brought in for his, the amount of assists and goals that he did score at Barnsley, and obviously for such a good price tag as well, just a few million quid. Plaudits to him. I admire his work rate, and you know, he can pick out a pass. He's got, you know, a good strike on him, and he's really good at set pieces, generally speaking. So yeah, absolutely, yeah, brilliant.
We have to mention the Royal Seal of Approval, which seems to have gone all around everywhere. That's the line that everyone's giving it as well, of course. A certain prince at Carrow Road thoroughly enjoyed the victory. And of course, it ended a run of 21 games in the Premier League away from home without a win. I know there were some good comments from Dean Smith after the game. He said, yeah, we'll get him to every game. But as a Villa fan, it must be quite nice to think that the Prince of the country supports your football club.
Yeah, it is. You know, I mean, you know, I'm not much of a royalist myself, I've got to say, but no, it is great. I mean, it didn't really, not so much who he is, seeing that he is Prince William's son, but seeing George obviously celebrate like that just reminds me and takes me back to my childhood, you know, being so ecstatic on the terraces. And yeah, so that to me was more heartwarming and great to see rather than who they were, and I see that William had to kind of calm him down and, you know, just let him express himself. You know, his team had just scored a fourth goal and we're in dreamland. I mean, just let him go all guns blazing.
Yeah, you would have loved to have seen William actually jumping up and down as well, wouldn't you? Perhaps happen later on in the season. We'll see how that one goes. But another player you mentioned there, Ryan, Jack Grealish, another excellent performance from him. His first Premier League goal for a hell of a long time, 4 years or so, I think it was. Of course, out of the Premier League for a while as well since then, but around September 2015, remarkably against Leicester, believe it or not, who won the title that season. But more touches, more passes than any other player in the Norwich half. He is also coming into his own in the Premier League, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's not, don't get me wrong, there's been some games where, you know, some of his decision making has been questionable, where he might have been coming a little bit too deep, trying to do too much. I think, you know, I said that over the past few weeks. But yeah, no, it's you know, I mean, what he did at Norwich, just, you know, he that shows, I reckon, he should be in and around, you know, the England squad. You know, and I know we spoke about the England squad a few weeks ago, and you know, you've got to say, you know, you've got to wonder what the criteria is for getting a call up. You know, there's a couple of players in Grealish's position that, you know, to me wouldn't be getting a sniff if I were Gareth Southgate. So yeah, hopefully he gets his call up and the recognition that he deserves very soon.
Well, let's look at this then. In terms of the midfielders, I'm just going to read them out now. We've got Ross Barkley, of course, from Chelsea, Fabian Delph, Jordan Henderson, James Maddison, Mason Mount, Declan Rice and Harry Winks. Of course, Fabian Delph has had to withdraw through injury, hasn't he, today? Yeah. Again, Jack Grealish overlooked for that. I guess kind of not exactly the same player. But when you compare him to those players, I mean, Mason Mount's had a great start to the season. Absolutely. Declan Rice and Jordan Henderson are different types of players. Declan Rice will be a future England regular, 100%. I'm sure of it. But Harry Winks, I look at and I think, do you know what? Yes, he's a good player, but Tottenham haven't had a great start to the season. He's not particularly pulled up any trees. You'd have thought maybe Jack Grealish might have got the nod ahead of him.
Yeah, I mean, it's not exactly like, is it, though, with those two players? Obviously, you know, Winks plays a lot deeper, more of a kind of playmaker from much deeper than Jack. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I think the two that you mentioned at the beginning, obviously Delph withdrawing. But really, what's Delph, you know, the snake, as we refer to him as, what's he really done since leaving Villa? I mean, a bit part player at Man City and, you know, not exactly tearing up trees at Everton this season, have been, you know, hapless. Ross Barkley, you know, to me, he showed a lot of promise as a teenager, so much so I genuinely thought he was going to become the next Gazza. But he's not really fulfilled his potential, and to me, he would certainly be ahead of him. But yeah, you're right. I mean, there is arguments to say that he could be ahead of Winks, but you know, Mason Mount, there's no denying, like, he's had a sensational campaign so far. But you know, prior to that, you know, does history count for anything? I know that obviously Jack, you know, did it in the Championship, but obviously Mount was on loan in the Championship last season. To me, perhaps more deserved overall, but obviously Mount has had a great season, so deserves to be in there.
Yeah, sorry, I forgot about Fabian Delph there. I probably shouldn't have mentioned him. I don't want to get the rage upon you. Of course, he didn't play in the game where you beat Everton at the third game of the season or so. You're going to have to wait until May before you go to Goodison Park. The reception that he's going to get, I'm presuming, isn't going to be favourable.
Yeah, it would have been better if he had been in the team when we beat them at Villa Park, wasn't it? I think he was, you know, injured then as well. So yeah, yeah, that would have been nice. But yeah, he'll certainly get a reaction from the Villa fans, I'm sure.
This is the Aston Villa Fan Show on Love Sport with Ryan Pitcher from Under a Gaslit Lamp. Plenty more coming up.
Love Sport.
This is Love Sport, the Aston Villa Fan Show on Love Sport. I'm Matt Beadle, joined by Ryan Pitcher from Under a Gaslit Lamp. We're going to move on now to Marvellous Nakamba, because a story has broken today, over the past couple of days, really, with footage that was posted on social media. There were a small section of fans who have sung a song at Carrow Road about Marvellous Nakamba. And this actually comes a couple of weeks after we discussed a Marvellous Nakamba chant on this show. I put the question to Ryan about whether there was a chant for him at the time, and a few ideas were banded around. And a chant has since come out that has been condemned by both the club and the Supporters Trust. I'm just going to read out the statements first before we get onto it. And the first one from the Trust: AVST is disappointed to hear about the chanting directed towards Marvellous Nakamba at the Norwich game. It's a cheap and insulting stereotype that has no place in this day and age. Racist stereotypes are never acceptable. Hiding so-called support behind such words are reprehensible and are condemned by all decent Villa supporters. We will be contacting the club regarding the issue. They, of course, did that. And Villa themselves then put out a statement saying they were disgusted and appalled by footage of the chant circulating on social media. They wholly condemn the chant and urge other supporters to help identify those responsible. I'm not going to read out the chant, because that is what it is. is, and we don't even want to give it the light of day, really. But Ryan, this has come about from a small section of Villa supporters. It has to be condemned. It is disgusting. What's the feeling amongst yourselves under a gaslit lamp about this?
Yeah, well, so today, under a gaslit lamp has been speaking to Stan Collymore, and we've just posted a piece on it as well, a really lengthy and detailed discussion with Stan Collymore, obviously condemning it. And, you know, a lot of the big fan groups and such, you know, have obviously condemned what's happened and obviously are raising awareness of it in terms of, you know, how fans should be behaving, you know. You know, we discussed it a few weeks ago. With a name like Marvelous, you'd like to think that fans could be extremely inventive when it comes to a chant for him. But as yet, there hasn't really been one set up. But to then sing about, you know, master slavery stereotype of black men and the size of their genitals, it just isn't on, nor is any form of racism or stereotyping of people based on their skin colour, gender, culture or religion for that matter. You know, it just needs to be stamped out. I mean, I occasionally take my six-year-old nephew to Villa Park and, you know, I'm trying to persuade him to follow the Villa. He's mixed race. His dad is from Gambia and supports Arsenal for his sins. So I'm trying to get him into the claret and blue. But, you know, and put it this way, Matt, if I were to hear any of that in my earshot, especially holding, you know, my nephew's hand, then I'd lose it, you know. So not only that is, you know, you talk about Nakamba. Since he's come to the club, you know, we've gained followers en masse from his homeland over in Zimbabwe. And we just want them to feel comfortable, you know, engaging with the club and its supporters. And I just want them to know that these mindless fools don't represent, you know, 99.9% of Villa fans, who are a lot more well-versed on these sorts of topics. And I'm fairly certain, you know, it won't happen again.
Yeah, it is such a small section, which is the really frustrating thing about it, because one video gets caught and it goes on social media. And absolutely, it does need to be condemned. But like you said, it then tarnishes, in a sense, the whole Villa support. But you'd like to think, obviously, that the like-minded people around us will realise, and because the footage is out there and because these guys will probably be identified, you'd hope that it'll be put to bed. There was a similar scenario, wasn't there, a couple of years ago with Manchester United and Romelu Lukaku. On that particular occasion, I know that Lukaku did tweet. He put something out and said, look, let's put a stop to this and move on. And you could tell that he was given what we imagine was a company line. And I know that you've spoken to Stan Collymore, and he's alluded to this as well. You know, he said, I read your interview, it was great. And the fact that he's been so open about it and you guys have got him out there was brilliant. But he said the club should provide more interviews with Marvelous Nakamba, Konza. They should be allowed to speak out, explain the history, things like apartheid, which happened right next door to Zimbabwe, of course, but the club will choose to protect the players. Do you think that will happen?
Yeah. Historically, you know, I mean, we know how difficult it is as fans group to gain access to footballers just to talk about menial things, in terms of, you know, just general Villa talk, really. So, you know, on stuff like this, I suspect more of the same, which is a shame. You know, we're trying to do stuff, you know, for racism in football. It's something that I'm very passionate about, for loads of different personal reasons and stuff that I wrote about historically. But yeah, you've got to allow these players to show, you know, their thoughts, feelings and emotions on this. And to me, you know, particularly, you know, in an era of such, you know, dominated by social media, the fact is you've got the tools there to do it. And yeah, they should be, you know, speaking with, you know, blacks, mixed ethnicity footballers, you know, footballers from different backgrounds and cultures. You know, they should be doing that, and they should be putting it out there on platforms and, you know, and humanizing it. You know, I think if supporters that might be that way inclined, for whatever reason, then, you know, that they might become a little bit more understanding. We shouldn't have to do it, of course, but, you know, use those tools. That's what they're there to be used for.
No, absolutely. I completely agree with you, mate. And we'd like to think that hopefully this will come to an end. I'm pretty sure it won't, because we're hearing, you know, week after week now, there was the incident with Bernardo Silva and Benjamin Mendy, of course, and this is a slightly different incident because that was between two friends. But, you know, Pep Guardiola's come out and said stuff, Silva's come out and said stuff, fellow players like Raheem Sterling have come out, and everybody has conflicting opinions. John Barnes is the same. He's come out and said something that isn't happening. We have Paul Mortimer on our station, and he does a lot of work with Kick It Out, and he was really disappointed in what John Barnes had to say. So all these different opinions and all these different ideas of what racism constitutes in a sense is where it gets even more blurred. But I'm sure both the Supporters Trust and Villa will work together, including Marvellous Nakamba as well, to stamp this out. Let's end this, however, on Nakamba on a positive note, because his performance against Norwich was right up there, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he's really impressed. At the start of the season, he didn't really get a sniff. You know, obviously, I think Douglas Louis was the man, you know, that got the nod ahead of him. And first time we saw him was against Crewe in the second round of the Carabao Cup. And you know, he looked a solid player there. And you know, since then he's come into the Premier League side. You know, having shown what he can do in the cup. And yeah, he's really bossed it. You know, he looks. You know, he reminds me of what, you know, Idrissa Gueye did when he came to Villa. Unfortunately, he was playing with, you know, quite poor players, you know, and went down with us. But, you know, he is that type of player. He puts himself about. And, yeah, I'm really excited to have him. You know, we were linked with Calvin Phillips in the summer, obviously, for long periods of the summer. And it looks like we've just, you know, brought in this lad. And, you know, he's, you know, for a much smaller fee. And yeah, he seems to be bossing it, and I can't wait to see what else he can do at the club.
It's interesting the comparison you make there to Idrissa Gueye, because that type of player now, that midfield linchpin, as it were, the guy who connects defence to attack and can regain possession and has incredible passing accuracy, even if sometimes it's just a 5 to 10 yard pass. We've seen the impact that N'Golo Kanté has had at both Leicester and Chelsea as well. They are becoming such crucial players within the Premier League, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. You need, you know, it's one of those jobs that, you know, I mean, I've played football, you know, Saturdays, Sundays, and, you know, I think you can often, you know, we talked about Ashley Westwood a few weeks ago with the Burnley fans, and, you know, sometimes some of those players can make it look quite laboured, but, you know, some people do it with style and tenacity, and Nakamba does that, and yeah, he's got a massive role to play, and certainly in today's game and in the modern game of, you know, starting, you know, building it from your goalkeeper and building it out through your defenders into that holding role and then out and wherever it may go from there, launching the attack, the bedrock of it, then yeah, a massive role to play.
Now, to finish, Ryan, I just want to touch on where Villa are in the league now. Of course, you're now up to 15th place, out of the, if you can call it, the relegation spots. For me, I think you have to get at least a third way into the season before you can even start drawing that line above 18th spot. But out of those spots now, just by a point, of course, Everton in there with Norwich and Watford, who are still without a win in the Premier League, of course. A team just 1 point and one place above you is Brighton. They're up next. You then go away to Manchester City, who, listen, they've got Crystal Palace after the international break, who are sixth at the moment. And that is a massive game for City. You could be playing City on the back of a two-game losing streak for Man City. But the game's coming up. You've got Brighton at home. You go to City. There's a Carabao Cup clash with Wolves. And then it's Liverpool. And, you know, you look at those fixtures now. That game against Brighton is quite big, isn't it? Because I suppose if you were looking at Man City and Liverpool back-to-back, you probably wouldn't expect to get any points out of those.
No, I'm actually quite intrigued about how we're going to play and set up against Man City and Liverpool, because obviously I think the not wanting to press all over the park was merely because of the step up at the start of the season, and so we didn't want to overexpose ourselves too much. So that's going to be very intriguing how that plays out, you know, going into those two games, because I reckon obviously we'll adopt the same philosophy against Brighton at home in our next game after the international break. But yeah, I think, I know obviously Brighton played very well against Spurs. I fancy us for 3 points against Brighton, however, at home at least. And so yeah, and then all of a sudden, I mean, I don't really look at the table, but obviously, you know, if we were to get, you know, be on 11 points going into the Man City Liverpool games, you know, it's that'd be brilliant.
And to finish, Ryan, we have to touch upon a certain Julian Joachim. Don't know whether you've seen this story. I imagine you probably have. He made his debut for a new club, Bourne Town, at the weekend. 45 years old is Joachim. Of course, he had a relative amount of success with Villa, over, you know, 100-odd appearances for the club, scored a few goals in the 90s and early noughties, but he's now with Bourne Town, and he scored on his debut. Incredible. Still playing at 45.
Yeah, well done to him. I mean, I know that he was doing a bit of scouting, not scouting. I think he's got his own company set up where he looks for players and gets them into clubs. I'm sure he was doing something over in Gibraltar.
That's correct.
I'm pretty
Yeah.
sure. Yeah. Well, no. I remember him from back in the 90s, and yeah, he was. You know. He wasn't the best player, don't get me wrong, but no, it's a name that, evokes, good memories, put it that way. So yeah, fair play to him.
If you think about your favourite players actually over the years gone by, it's this question I've not really asked you since you've been on the show. Who stands out for you as a Villa great or your all-time hero?
Oh, yeah, I almost feel embarrassed to say,
Oh,
because
come
this
on.
was very much in my adolescent year. So what I'm 30. I'm going to be 32 next month. But Juan Pablo Angel, funnily enough, I know that sounds really strange considering all the other players that we've had, great players, but much better than Juan Pablo Angel. But I was a forward in my teenage years and such, and so obviously, needless to say, as I always had, Juan Pablo Angel on my back. I remember having a Superman T-shirt, in fact, and it had Angel on the back, and it said Super Juan. On the front with the Superman logo. But yeah, no, he was a real hero to me, to be fair.
Sorry, oh, Super Juan, that's what it had at the
Yeah,
beginning.
Super Juan. Yeah. You see what they were trying to do there. I think it was like a tenner from outside, outside the Holt end, on one of those cheap stands. The printing didn't last too long. I do remember that.
Incredible. It was a funny one for him, wasn't it? Because he arrived from Argentina at the time. A fair bit of cash, I suppose you could say, but it took him a bit of time to get into the club, didn't it?
Yeah. So what was it? 9.5, 9.75 million. It took him a little bit of time to really, get off the mark and start scoring goals. But once he did, he did really well for us. And yeah, no, he was just. I don't know what I loved about him so much. I just, sitting in the Holt end, and there was loads of times where he come to celebrate near me in the lower Holt. Yeah, and I just loved his character. I loved everything about him, and I still keep tabs on what he's doing nowadays, and obviously follow him on Twitter and such. And yeah, I don't know what it was. He captured my imagination, captured my heart. Obviously, playing in a position that I played in as well. So yeah, just love the guy.
Yep, some players just seem to grab you in a certain way, don't they? And it was a goal at Coventry. That's the one I was trying to think of. I know he came in January 2001, just couldn't score for love nor money. Everyone thought, crikey, Villa have signed a dud. You went 2-0 down in that game against Coventry, and he scored his first goal for the club. I think Paul Merson scored the winner, but it was towards the end of the campaign. Of course, Coventry went down that season. So his first goal for the club was certainly a memorable one. Ryan, it's been great having you on again. It's an international break next weekend, but plenty to talk about, no doubt, in the world of Aston Villa. We will see you then.
All right, lovely. All right, cheers. Take care.
That was Ryan Pitcher from Under a Gaslit Lamp, and this has been the Aston Villa Fan Show. Next up, it's Derby County.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.